Man, I am stuffed. I am full.
What?
Dude, we had this huge brunch.
What?
We ate brunch and now we're coming to podcast.
No, I know that, but what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Why are you talking about food at the front?
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
48.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon. I am Scott.
Hello, my name is Crispy. How do you do? I'm Jamie Dooner.
Wait, what is that from?
That's from Crispy Critter cereal, a 80s.
Was that the cookie? No.
What was Crispy Critters? Crispy Critters was, I believe, some sort of healthy-ish cereal, like a Kix kind of thing.
Oh,
but shaped like animals. It wasn't very tasty, but the there was a puppet. That was the spokespuppet, and he was modeled vocally, anyway, after Jimmy Durante.
Aha. I mean, I remember, I fully remember.
Nothing says breakfast like Jimmy Durante.
Dun-dun-dun. Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, and that's what the
No, I remember the commercials. Like, I totally remember the commercials. That's very funny. Was it around the same time? Well, actually, that was probably earlier, where the, which kids cartoon had the Jimmy Durante narrator? Was it like Frosty the Snowman, or it was one of those? Or Rudolph?
Frosty, maybe.
I think it was Frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that was sounds 70s, right?
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman.
All that stuff was late 60s, early 70s. All the Christmas regular specials.
Right. All the animated things. Yeah, that's true. Now we have Shrek and blah.
I've never watched any of those.
The only one I watched was Disney did this one called Prep and Landing that was 3D animated.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Awesome. Like, it totally felt Pixar inspired, you know, like type of half hour kind of thing. It was really good, really cool. All right, so let's jump in. This week, another slow week in the technology world.
We're taking that technology real slow.
Very slow. But There was a couple of large, impactful things. So the biggest one, there's a lot of stuff going on, but this Google finally launched their Google Drive product, which we kind of mentioned about the rumors, didn't we?
I believe so.
So it finally launched. It was pretty much
the rumors were true.
Ta-da! They launched the Google Drive, 5 gigabytes of free storage. Available as a Mac application and a Windows application and an online application. Did you install it?
I did.
James?
Yeah.
And thoughts? Did you use it all?
I've used it, but no, anyone that I'm using it with is still, you know, just doing Google Docs or whatever. I haven't actually used it for a bigger file than a document.
Right, right.
So it's right now it feels like the same thing. I haven't used it for...
It's nothing crazy special. Compared to what's been out there, as far as I can tell, I mean, the integration with Google is what makes it special,
right? That it's right there on your homepage.
Yeah, I mean, now it's up on that top black bar. Yeah. You see Drive there, and you can click on it.
Yeah, it doesn't say Docs anymore up there.
No,
it just says Drive.
Exactly. And what's kind of cool, and which is what Dropbox does also, is there's an app application you download for your desktop or laptop, install it, and you get a Drive folder on your desk, on your computer, and anything you drag into it gets uploaded.
Yeah.
And you can have it on multiple devices. They don't have an iPhone app yet.
Right.
I'm sure they will come out with one, but they do have one for Android, which I used.
Yeah.
There was a Google Docs app and that no longer exists actually.
Huh.
So the Drive app replaced Google Docs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how they're using it.
Right.
It's nice. Do I think it's mind blowing? No. You know, I think Dropbox, it looks like, to me, it seems like Dropbox's sharing capabilities are a little better.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Just, you know, like you can subscribe to different people's, like, I mean, you can share with the Google Docs in that way, but like the shared folders in Dropbox seem to be a little more geared toward working together with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the way it works. I mean, it's not crazy different or anything like that.
Right.
And
you can only share it with someone with a Gmail account
as
well.
Exactly. But Dropbox, you can only share it with somebody that has a Dropbox account.
So, right.
You know, that's kind of a similar thing. Now, the other thing that happened was Windows, and I talked about this the last show, released their upgraded their SkyDrive app, mm-hmm. and it's the same concept. You know, there's an application for Mac and PC, and it creates a folder, and you can drag it. I mean, it's the same exact thing. They give you a little more storage. They give you 7 gigs,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. They have an iPhone app, but they don't have an Android app.
Yeah.
And from what I've been reading, it's going to deeply integrate with Windows 8.
Okay.
And the Windows phones and stuff like that. What I like for me personally is, since I've been using SkyDrive just a little bit in the past, they gave me the option, because I was an early adopter, to have 25 gigs of free storage.
Oh, wow.
So for me, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. I'll see how much I use it. I do like the sharing features of SkyDrive. Like, I put some pictures in there and said mm-hmm. view only, and then sent the link, and it worked really nice.
Oh, nice. But
Google Drive has a similar thing, and Dropbox. I'm very curious to see, like, which of these products really takes off. You know, like, I think Dropbox has a good hold, you know,
yes,
a lot of
but
people
I also,
have been using
I, th-
it.
I think that, I mean, like, Google just has that.
Yeah, I know.
They have that market, you know, and everyone.
What's kind of cool that what Dropbox did that was really smart in the beginning is they opened up this API to developers, and people could put Dropbox capability in their programs.
Right.
And so they've started, there's already a whole bunch of programs mm-hmm. out there that have Dropbox built in, which is neat. You know, I think that was probably one of their smartest moves.
Apple doesn't have a file sharing.
Well, they have iCloud.
Right.
I know. It's different. It's not the same.
But isn't that more for your personal stuff? Can you use that to share
with
people?
No, you can't. You can't.
So they don't. No. You know, so how long until Apple buys Dropbox?
They tried.
Did they really?
Yeah. Apparently they tried, or I don't know if actually they tried, but I know Steve Jobs met with the creators of Dropbox.
Interesting.
Yeah. And from, I don't remember exactly what it was that I read an interview, and I'm blanking, but somehow I think they turned him down. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Right.
Because
they're going to regret that in a year.
I don't know. I don't.
But when no one's using Dropbox anymore,
well,
because everyone is using Google Drive and you have to use it because you have to have the Gmail account.
I mean, you know, right now what's great about Google, I mean, with the Dropbox is there's an app and program for every platform.
Yeah.
And they're the only one that has that.
Right.
And it's also become kind of a little bit of a buzzword. Like, they got good name recognition.
Oh, for sure.
So I hope they can, like, they're a really cool company, and I hope they can continue on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going against a behemoth here with Google Drive. I mean, this is a huge, and to be honest, I wouldn't count Microsoft out, even though we'll, you know, yet to be determined how Windows 8 turns out, but that's going to be integrated into the operating system.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, the same reason why Internet Explorer was so popular. I mean, not anymore, but,
right.
You know, that, because it was integrated. So
when's the last time you saw someone using Internet Explorer?
Oh, it's so rare.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you see someone who doesn't really keep up with things.
Yeah, sometimes, but I don't see it that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just at some offices where people don't know.
Right.
But even, like, most IT guys at big companies install Firefox for people and, you know, Google Chrome.
Yeah. Have you seen a larger number of people using Google Chrome than you expected?
Yeah, I've seen a big surge of Google Chrome. Like,
I like Chrome better than I like Firefox.
It's my favorite browser out there. I like it better than any of them. You know, hands down, I find it the fastest and smoothest browser.
It's super smooth.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more. Firefox still a lot too.
Yeah,
But I've definitely, there's been just a huge boom in Chrome.
And I'm sure you see a lot of people using Safari as well.
A lot of Apple users, but in recent months, I've seen a lot of Apple users using Chrome
I've seen more people go from Safari to Chrome and never had Firefox.
Right, exactly. Speaking of Chrome also, I didn't really talk about it, but they have this Chrome beta, which I have on my phone and my tablet, which is kind of neat. It's like a full-featured version of Chrome that syncs with all your bookmarks and your everything. That's like, I have it on the tablet, on the phone, and it has this feature where it says, like, shows what you've opened on other devices. So, like, last page opened on this device, and you can open it on the computer, or you can open it on, which is really neat. And it's like integrated right into the browser. I could probably show you, like, we have a Google Chrome browser up here. So like when you pull up your bookmarks thing, you have other devices down at the bottom,
uh-huh.
and it shows you what you've looked at, and it has nice. Recently closed, and it shows you like what apps you've recently closed.
Oh, Scott, you've really been looking at a lot of porn.
hey, Jamie Dooner. Come on,
food
man.
Porn. Come on,
there
food
we
porn.
Go. Thank you. That is more like me. Well done, sir. Well done. So yeah, Google Drive. Check it out. It's it. They've been slowly rolling it out to everyone's device. I know a couple of people that weren't able to get to it, and it said it's probably out to everybody by now. But you can go to drive.google.com, and that's how you can download it and enable it on your Gmail account. So check that out.
You are an enabler, Scott.
I am a Google-abler. Google-abler.
Google.
No.
Gabe Lincoln?
I don't know. So some other stuff going on. There was some reports coming out that Samsung became the number one mobile shipment provider in global shipment of handsets, beating the number one had been Nokia, and this is the first time in 14 years that somebody has topped Nokia, which is crazy and surprises me that it hasn't happened yet, because Nokia, at least in the U.S., but this is worldwide, I guess. In the U.S., Nokia phones have kind of almost disappeared until this new launch of the Windows phones.
Hey, maybe this means we'll be seeing concerts at the Samsung Theater, and they'll
do it right.
They'll do it right.
Do you? I'm sure you've owned a Nokia phone in the past.
Probably, I don't remember.
Do you remember? I remember like they were the phones, like Nokia. Like I remember having the little one, which now seems
I definitely
huge.
Had a Samsung. I don't know that I ever had a Nokia. I had a Samsung phone for a while. I mean, that's way back when.
Right. Right.
I don't even think it was like right when I, texting was starting.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like there's this analytic company called iSupply that released these numbers that Samsung shipped 92 million handsets, Nokia shipped 83 million, and Apple shipped 35 million. Now, this is global, not just the U.S. It surprises me that Nokia is still that high. But I mean, I guess I'm curious when you go to Europe, like, if you notice, what kind of phones people are using. Like, if it's different than here, here you just see so many iPhones.
Right.
All over the place. I wonder.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of those numbers are probably Asia.
Yeah, true.
For Nokia.
Yeah, that's probably true. That does make sense. So I thought that was interesting that Nokia has held on that long to the number one, spot of shipments. When we here in the U.S. just, they've all but disappeared.
Yeah.
Until last week when Windows launched their first Windows phones with Nokia. So very, very interesting because like they were the ones to beat back in the day. But
now they're only in second place.
Right, right.
I mean,
with 83 million.
Now they're only selling 83 million.
In the first quarter.
In one quarter, geez.
Right. I mean, it's shipments, not sales, but still.
What can I do to sell 83 million units of something?
I would really like to know that.
I don't know.
That would be amazing to know.
A sweater for a dog's tail. What do you think about that?
A sweater for a dog's tail? Just for the tail?
Just for the tail. A tail sweater.
Tell me a tail, Jamie.
No.
Dog's tail. What would that be called? I don't know. Tailster? Tellerder?
Skark?
I don't know. So another little tidbit going on was, so Apple has their Worldwide Developers Conference, the WWDC, every year. And it's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone converges up north and there's this amazing event. So this year, the tickets sold out in 2 hours, and there was some uproar from the people on the West Coast because by the time they woke up, it was sold out because they went on sale early East Coast time.
So it was like 5 a.m. here.
Right, right. So I thought that, I don't know, I think that for me feels like
It's a little weird because whenever you see most of things like a sort of blanketed nationwide sale, they tend to do it at like 11 Eastern time or noon Eastern time. so that people here are at 8 or 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
They usually do that.
I know. That's why I found it really strange. I wonder, like, I almost wonder if they did it on purpose.
Right, like maybe it's always been West Coast heavy.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, yeah, I wonder. Like, it seems really odd.
I think the East Coast Mafia is involved. Hey.
Hey, let's not talk about that.
Hey, we
want some people at the WWDC. Yeah, right. Why don't we, my son, he's a computer guy. He likes that stuff.
Yeah, my son doesn't get a ticket. We're going to develop a problem.
Nice. So I just wanted to acknowledge that because it was interesting, and the tech world was a buzz about that stuff the other morning. Jamie D found something interesting on the web.
Jamie D.
That's your new segment. No, you know that every time that's going to happen now. You've just created your own like super segment. The
If you've listened to this podcast, you know that my love of altering things 3D. Well, in France, that's like European France.
As opposed to
France, California.
Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas. I don't know. Anyway, the football team, football in the European sense.
Soccer to us.
Football
Yanks.
In the world, in the international
everywhere
sense.
Except the United States.
The Lyon team in France is, their new jerseys for this season have a 3D design on them.
And designed by Adidas.
Designed by Adidas, 3D-dis.
3D-dis.
And... they are it's kind of neat. It's in honor of the Lumiere brothers, the pioneers of filmmaking in the 1890s.
Correct.
Who were pioneers of
some of the first people to make movies. I mean,
but they were also from Lyon. That's
And you would think, like, that. I guess the way it is at when you're at the stadium, if you have 3D glasses, then you can see the 3D effect on the...
I'm going to assume that if
you probably
you're watching,
can on TV, too.
Yeah, in those 3D broadcasts.
Yeah, because it's not like... It's the blue and... Or, I mean, the red and blue.
Oh, it's old school.
It's old school red and blue lenses, 3D glasses. So, it looked like when you look at the jersey, there it had some images online, it didn't look...
It wasn't distracting.
No, it just looked kind of a cool design.
Yeah.
And so it's gimmicky, but it's neat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see this taking off in any way. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe 5 years from now, it'll like every team will be like the green screen on a baseball field.
Well, that's kind of what when you told me about it, that's what I thought initially, that it's like that the cameras can see it. And so when you watch it on TV, all of a sudden there's like this blazing emblem or statistics that come up as the guy walks by
like the mascot moves around on their jersey.
Right. Kind of like the lines that they have on the football fields now, you know, how like they don't like they're actually physically shot with like it's like a laser thing and only the
laser
cameras.
Sharks.
True story. We're not going to get into it. But there are laser sharks in the world, right, Jamie?
There will be.
For another podcast, the wild, weird world of James P. Dooner. Coming soon to an
Laser Sharks.
It just sounds like a bad movie. I bet you
sounds like a sci-fi Saturday night movie.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't made that.
Yeah.
So that the Lyon soccer players 3D. Be curious to see what it looks like, but neat, fun, you know, kind of. Cool gimmicky to me.
Yeah.
That just seemed fun. And I like that they were doing that. So in the world, in the crossover here, we have a little crossover of technology and movies in the crossover world.
Scott's making weird symbols with his hands crossing over. He's sort of doing a 60s lady dance.
I don't know what's happening here. Peter Jackson shot the new Hobbit movie.
Mm-hmm.
In with a higher frame rate on the camera, so 45 frames per second as
48
as opposed to
24.
And he previewed some of the footage for the theater exhibitors this week.
CineCon in Vegas.
Yeah, and there was pretty mixed reaction to this.
I would say mostly negative.
It seemed mostly negative. Yeah, yeah. It did. When I originally heard about this, I thought this is a cool idea, you know, but I didn't really know what they were doing. No one know what it would look like. But from what I've been reading coming out of this screening is that it looked kind of like video. I mean,
yeah, it's super, it's, you know, it's like HD HD,
right?
Like, so, you know, when you see something in HD, like a newscast or something, and you can really see the, wrinkles and pockmarks on people's faces.
Yeah.
It's like that times 10.
That's what they said. And like, you know, there's that anti-smoothing feature you can turn on a lot of TVs where when you turn it on a movie, all of a sudden the movie kind of looks like video. And that's upping the frame rate, but artificially. It's filling in detail where detail doesn't exist. So this is actually shooting all of that detail. I'm a little worried about how this is going to play out.
I mean, I don't... It feels to me like 70 millimeter or something. It's like... I'm interested in it. I really am.
I'm
like,
curious,
I don't think that... I'm not like, oh, this is terrible. They should never do this or whatever. I think that there's definitely something to come of it. Like, someone's going to make something beautiful and awesome on it. It's not going to look like a movie or film that we think of in the traditional sense, but... That's okay. Things can still be beautiful and look different, you know? But
that's true.
But I, you know, do I want like a real filmic quality to disappear from film? No, and I don't think it's going to.
And that's why I think like the first things that started to be shot digitally didn't look great until these cameras got good enough to replicate a 24 frames per second image.
Yeah.
And there's something to that warmth. To the 24 frames per second image. I don't think it's like at first I'm like, oh, well, you know, they've only been doing that because that's all they were able to do to capture it, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually, it's like comparing, you know, painting with paint to, you know,
digital,
but some digital can replicate a paint look, but yeah, by digital. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, even if you're using quote unquote paint on an Illustrator program or whatever, it doesn't look like real paint.
No,
you know,
it's true.
It's different.
It's very different. And I, it's funny because at first when I heard about it, I was really excited about that concept. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, the less I'm excited about it, and the less I think it's going to be something that I want to take off.
It's one of those things. Yeah, I like 70 millimeter. Like, beautiful 70 millimeters, awesome and beautiful. I mean, it's that is actually an improvement.
Yeah,
but it's just not, people didn't respond to it, so it didn't become the norm.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Peter Jackson says, you know, it takes a little adjusting to watch it, and apparently, what he showed were these fast clips, and people didn't get a chance to just like settle into the look. Mm-hmm. So, it's a yet to be determined thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to know really anything until that movie's out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's going to have a clue. And he's really behind
Christmas?
It. Yeah, I think so. And he's really behind it. And so is James Cameron's behind that technology too.
Wait, James Cameron is behind some sort of new cinema technology?
I mean, if there's, you know, anybody behind this, these guys are ones I would trust.
So coming soon, 48 frames per second.
Avatar 2.
In the ocean.
In the See, now that would be amazing. Like a documentary, 48 frames per second, James Cameron ocean thing. Hell yeah.
You know that he went down the Marianas Trench, right?
I did.
He was only the third person. He's the first person to ever do it by himself.
I know. Amazing. Seriously amazing. He designed the submarine. He actually designed the submarine.
Did you see about the asteroid mining thing?
That him and...
Larry Page, right?
I think Larry Page and... who else was it?
Was Zuckerberg part of it?
I can't remember who it was, but yeah, the asteroid mining project.
So all these guys are getting together and they want to go mine
passing asteroids
for minerals,
precious minerals.
Sounds like the beginning of a James Cameron movie.
They're going to unearth some alien in the middle of an asteroid and goodbye world.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing it for research.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he knows something we don't.
I think he knows a lot of things we don't. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
That James Cameron.
Yes.
But, you know, I want to see an asteroid mining project.
I'd like to see that really happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, it, you know, who knows what kind of minerals that
was,
could be up
I was watching
asteroids.
The Daily Show. I always end up quoting The Daily Show on this podcast. I don't know. But Jon Stewart was... He was saying, what was on the news last night? And, you know, that was it. And he was like, wow. He's like, it's rare that the news actually sounds like it's from 2012.
That's funny. That's totally
what you
true.
Thought it would sound like.
Right, right. That's really crazy. The end of the world approaches. There was something, there was some quote about the end of the world the other day that I saw.
About Dick Clark passing
Oh,
away.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. Was that Daily Show too?
No, it was someone's tweet. But it
Judd
was,
Apatow, maybe?
I don't remember.
It was somebody I was following, you must follow too, that said, it really is the end of the world. The Mayans had it right because now we can't, after Dick Clark passed away, now we can't celebrate New Year's.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny. So, yeah, that's the tech stuff going on and sort of tech/movies. In mm-hmm. that realm. Speaking of movies, Jamie and I took in a sci-fi horror thing. Extravaganza.
I don't know what I would classify that movie as.
Yeah, it sci-fi horror fantasy. I mean, it was all of the elements.
But it was also a comedy.
Right, right. It was just like everything.
Cabin in the Woods is what it was.
Right, we should say what the movie was. It was the movie in our minds. It was
5-year engagement. It was
sci-fi
comedy.
But Cabin in the Woods, I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, that was great.
It was really just a fun, different, and like the setup is, and we're not ruining anything because they're showing the commercials in this way. But
it's also, I mean, you get within the first 5 minutes, you know, the setup.
Right. So like these kids are going to a cabin in the woods, but it turns out it's being controlled by these other people and it's not
who are underground
and it's not a, you know, it's everything's being planned and like they're in this fake, I don't know, almost virtual
like a
setting.
Like a, yeah, they're in a cage basically.
Right. And
the
these other people are
underground
controlling
control
the effects.
The weather and whatever sort of
things happen.
Animals are there and that sort of stuff.
Right. I mean, it was fun, it was funny. You know, like there's
just,
a lot of homages to.
Yeah, and just very surprising. Even though you think you know what it is, you don't.
Yeah.
And there's a point at like the beginning of the third act where it's just awesome.
The movie just goes bananas.
Yeah.
And it was really, really fun movie. You know?
And inventive. I wanted more of it, really.
Yeah, me too. And the acting was good. Like everybody that they had in it really just kind of nailed the parts.
Yeah.
And yeah, just really fun. That's like what I have to say about it.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
It was just a fun...
Good movie. Check it out. You should check it out. Cabin in the Woods, playing at your local cinema.
Yes, Cabin in the Woods. All right, we're going to move... I know we're moving at like a brisk pace, but you know, this is going to be a little pared down show. And I'm dancing at the microphone for no reason right now.
We're moving at a brisk pace... It's going to be short. We're cutting some off.
I don't know what to say, except that may have been the most brilliant thing you've ever said on the show. Well done. Well done. So on the food front, I had the pleasure of experiencing just a fun experience and an insanely good cupcake. Insanely good. So, Sprinkles Cupcakes, which is a cupcake place started out here in Beverly Hills, and now they are in Chicago, in New York, in Houston, and they're spreading all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up a cupcake ATM machine next to their store. Which, so you go up, it's a machine, you put in your credit card, you can choose the cupcakes on a touch screen,
mm-hmm.
you press it, and then there's a camera on like the little device that goes and finds the cupcake, and you mm-hmm. like see this like robotic arm find the cupcake and it pushes it through the door.
Did you shoot footage, Scott?
I did not shoot footage. There is footage online. And I think I mentioned it in the past, but I hadn't been there on the show. So every time I have gone by this place, there mm-hmm. is at least 30 people in line. Like I've drove by it at 1 a.m.
Right.
And there's 30 people in line or in the afternoon. It doesn't matter. So the other night, I drove by.
Now, are people in line for the cupcake ATM even when the
yes.
store itself? So yes. the line for the ATM is longer sometimes. Than the store? It's a little ridiculous.
It is a little ridiculous. And if you're, you know, if you understand it, it's quick. It takes 2 minutes to, you know, do the thing. But some people don't understand it and they're going through, they can't decide what cupcake they want, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I understand
yeah,
that part.
No, me too. So they had this cupcake at the machine.
Wait, quick question. Cupcake ATM, can you make a deposit?
I don't think you can, but that would be really funny. I made this cupcake at home. Can you keep it safe for me? So for a limited time only at Sprinkles, they have a s'mores cupcake. So the s'mores cupcake was more than I could have imagined.
It's more than you could ever imagine.
It's more than I could have imagined. Let me describe the s'mores cupcake, right? So the
marshmallow?
There is marshmallow.
Graham crackers?
Let me get to it.
Marshmallows? Was there fire? Was there fire involved?
There may have been. Chocolate cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom of the cupcake is a graham cracker crust.
Oh, wow.
So kind of like a pie crust at the bottom of the cupcake. It's not like mixed in or anything. Like there's just a little...
That sounds good.
Yeah, right? And then in the middle of the cupcake is a piece of chocolate. Like you would put in a s'more.
Right.
You know, just like the milk chocolate
right,
middle. And then the top was a marshmallow fluff frosting that was also like toasted the top of the marshmallow.
Nice.
So it was toasted marshmallow, and you could tell it like hand toasted, you know.
Uh-huh.
So hand toasted marshmallow top, chocolate, graham cracker on the bottom, and you had chocolate in the middle. It was amazing.
Sounds pretty good.
It was, and I didn't really know that there was the chocolate in the middle.
Yeah.
So like when I bit into this thing, I was like,
come on a stick?
I'm like, oh my God, that would be the way. Except that I think it would fall apart.
Yes.
But it may have been, and listen, I eat a lot of sweets. I eat a lot of cakes and cupcakes.
Wait, what?
I am going down one of the best cupcakes I've ever had in my life. I'm putting it out there right now.
Strong words.
I am telling you because it was surprising and there was so much thought put into it. You know, like you would think that it would just be, okay, a chocolate cupcake with marshmallow frosting.
Okay,
like,
Scott, what is the worst cupcake you've ever had in your life?
That is a tough call, Jamie. I don't know. I mean...
Probably like someone's homemade one where you're like, this is really horrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or what about like a store-bought, like a grocery store one?
You know, I've had some pretty bad... Ralph's had some red velvet cupcakes that were kind of horrible.
Right.
Like they were sponge cake dyed red with cream cheese frosting. Uh-huh. And they called them red velvet cupcakes and they were kind of terrible.
Yeah.
Like as of late, in the past few years, that's something I can think of that I did not.
The red velvet boom is over.
The red velvet boom is kind of over.
Yeah.
It's kind of over. You're not seeing it. And I give credit to Sprinkles for being inventive and not, you know, like that was their signature cupcake. I still think they sell probably a lot of those, but like they've gone above and beyond, you know, like they keep doing new stuff and that's, you know, that's cool for a place like that. I think,
yeah.
You know, to actually like, you know, there's people there. That's what I just loved about this cupcake. It was so thought out.
Right.
It really was just not thrown together and I appreciated that and it tasted good and it just made the whole experience awesome. So, you know, props to the Sprinkles Pope.
I don't know what just happened there, but I would like to retract Scott Gold's behavior in the last 2 seconds.
The robot Scott just
malfunction. Why are you backing up? Why are you backing up a large truck?
I'm malfunctioning. I don't know what's happening.
I see.
So that was my food stuff this week. And if you are in a city that has Sprinkles, it's possible that they were not available as of Monday, so you might not be able to get them.
Oh, they're no longer.
They were. I think they only were for a couple weeks. I don't remember exactly.
Why is this s'more season? Shouldn't it be more in the summertime?
Well, shouldn't it?
Camping.
I mean, always be s'mores season?
Yeah, but when do people go camping? I guess people go camping in the spring.
And that's what I got on the food front. So that is our abbreviated cast podcast.
Short podcast this week.
Yeah, it was a short one this week. I mean, there was other things going on. There was this Google Oracle lawsuit going on, and I just haven't been all that informed. But I think Brian Bishop over the Verge was actually at the trial and has a lot of good coverage if you're interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? I'll put a link to that on the site just so people can check it out if they want to.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
It's a good idea. Yeah, maybe.
Still going on, right?
Yeah, it is still going on. So there's going to be a lot more information. But that was a lot of the coverage this week was going on.
We can present it as sort of like a Law and Order case.
Dun dun.
Bum bum.
So thanks
Law
for
listening. Oracle.
Law and Oracle. Nice.
I don't know.
That's good. That's good.
I don't know.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out all over the interwebs, as Jamie would say.
Would I say that?
I don't know. Yeah, you've said interwebs.
Say internets.
Internet.
Surfing the web. Let's surf the web, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, bro.
Do you know anyone that still says surfing the web?
I occasionally will say that.
Surfing the web or surfing?
Surfing.
I say
the
surf
net.
Occasionally. I'll surfing the net.
I see that. I say that on occasion. It is outdated.
Gleaming the cube and surfing the net.
It is terms that have gone by the wayside, I feel. So you can follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7.
Bastard monkey. BSTRD monkey.
To Mr. Dooner. We do have a at TechBacon feed, but it's really only used to announce new podcasts and whatnot.
Now announcing a new podcast.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week, and we will
see you on the flip side.